because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
Certain days so you can like have them ready to go?
This is kind of new. We usually just record one, but okay, we just talked to Brandon French because, you know,
Hey, Sam, did you know that at MLP Daytona that you got me a sandwich from the players' lounge and gave it to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Firehouse
subs over there.
There you go. Okay. Just make it sure.
Kind of the player. It was like a makeshift players' lounge on like a Wednesday.
It was. That's exactly right. I probably just could have walked in there and got it, but it was very nice of you to grab a sandwich, Sam.
Sam, how's the experience been with Pro Pickleball so far? MLP has been kind of the main thing you've played, but
yeah,
what's it been like?
Two MLPs and one PPA, and like, yeah, the MLPs are really fun, way better than the PPAs. Like, I'm on one of the good, like, you know, the 24 teams. I feel like there's like four or five like awesome teams to be on. I happen to be on one of those. There seems like
you mean just like, in terms of like ownership
like,
them taking care of you.
There's a wide range of 10-12 teams that are pretty good, and then there's like five like shitty teams.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Do you I just feel like there should be some kind of standard amongst like, you know, how owners treat players and what they do to take care of.
I think the league should say like, hey, if you own a team, you need to pay all the expenses at least and go for
at least, that. Right? Yeah. If you're on a pro sports team, least they can do is cover your costs of getting to the event and staying.
Right. It's four people. It's pretty minimal.
Yeah. Right. And I think early on that was kind of a selling point, is that you pony up the money and then you don't have to do anything else. So I think that maybe that needs to change
exactly.
as we move forward with this.
Exactly. I'm not like necessarily blaming those owners. I kind of put more of it on the MLP group to put in some like rules, like we were saying, to
sure
going forward.
Some kind of baseline. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Cover costs of, I mean, that's the bare minimum, right? Just don't have players losing money by going if you're in the Challenger League, which some
players, if you're in the Challenger League, you're making, and you don't get a football, you get $750 or something.
Yeah.
you're losing money. Absolutely.
Sam, what are your thoughts? Because obviously you come from...
We've like started, right? We're like going?
Yeah, we're going. All right. Yeah, this is... Sorry.
We're I figured I was just...
Yeah. No, so obviously coming from pro tennis, you know, as you could see with like the PPA and the APP and the tours are kind of emulating pro tennis tours, right? They have the 250, 500. They're trying to create majors.
Right.
The whole deal, right? Which is... They're like, you're also trying to just create from scratch because, you know, in tennis, you have the prestige and the history and of everything of the majors. Whereas in pickleball, you're really just trying to like create something from scratch. And there's not a lot of history and prestige behind it. So it's just another tournament for a player and for a spectator, to be honest. So what are your thoughts? And obviously you said you had more fun playing MLP. It's a better experience. What are your thoughts in terms of where pro pickleball should go? You know, should we emulate pro tennis with tours? Should we be a team-based league? What do you think the best path forward is?
You know, I don't know. It's a tough answer because like we've got the PPA, the APP, the MLP. It seems like they're all still kind of like fighting to be like, you know, on top, even though the PPA and the MLP like kind of have a merger, even though they still feel like they're very separate to me.
Yeah.
I guess in my perfect world, I'm not playing like a full schedule like everyone else. I think everyone seems to like the MLP, but the PPA and the individual basis of the sport is also really important. I think it'd be cool if they can come to some type of 50-50, or maybe, you know, it's 12 MLP events and 12 PPA, if you want to call it. And you do both things like that, because I do think if you polled most of the players as of right now, I think they'd be like, yeah, I think they would say MLP is more fun. There's more prize money on the line. The events are maybe run a little better as of right now. But, you know, the PPA will, and the MLP and the APP, they'll all continue to get better. But I guess I would like to see a kind of a 50-50 split between MLP and one of the other leagues.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know specifically what their plan is for next year. Whether they're going to up the event amount, I would assume so. They have.
I think they're going to have at least two more, and maybe even four more.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But yeah, I agree. I think if you pulled most players, that I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody that says they prefer tournaments over MLP. You know, but yeah, I just think viewership wise as well, MLP people just seem to like watching that format better. I mean, as a player, I'm not a huge fan of rally scoring in terms of playing, but it is fun to watch. And with the freeze, like, you know, it's always a close game. It's always exciting. Players are always like more stoked and amped up than tournament play. So yeah, as a viewer,
I'm someone who's like new to the sport. I am 100% all in on rally scoring. I think they should do rally scoring across MLP, PPA, at your tournament, local tournament, wherever you are, MLP. I think it's awesome. I think it's easy to understand. I like the fact that it, you know, you could be up 20 to 14 and then all of a sudden it's like 2017, 2018 and it gets close. It creates more drama. I think in all sports, drama is good. And I'm a fan right now in pickleball of trying different scoring formats. I know I talked to Steve Kuhn last week about, he was talking about maybe putting in like a beep after 40 seconds and the point has to end. And I know a lot of maybe players that have been playing pickleball for a long time are against that stuff. But even when I played tennis, I was on the player council for years. I was always
voting
for like to make little changes or to at least try them. If it doesn't work, go back to the old system. But you know, you always see like the NFL every year. It's the biggest sport in America, at least. Like they actually make rule changes every year and then the players adapt. And if it doesn't work, you can make a change. So as pickleball is still, you know, it's still new, I think we should be trying different scoring formats, different rules and things like that to see which is best for the players and maybe more importantly, the viewership.
Yeah, it's a good point because I don't think I don't think there's been many instances where it's been a test like that hasn't been implemented for like an entire year, for example. Like, I like that idea of like, let's test it for an event. Or let's test it for, just like a short-term test just to give it a go. But I don't think there's been much of that, Adam. Do you remember any of
that? I'm a big baseball guy, and I've been watching the first week of the season. And they have a pitch clock now. There's twice as many stolen bases. This is the most the sport with the most tradition out there. So you can always be getting better, and you always be trying new things. So I think that is really important. And I think, you know, I mean, it sounds crazy when you say it, but I think a shot clock, maybe a 24-second shot clock in pickleball, like Sam said, there's a beep at 8 seconds left. Yeah. You have to pull some triggers. You can't dink anymore. I mean, that's kind of cool. I'll always try things. There's no reason to just be satisfied with what's happening. Always try to be better.
Exactly. If you're not trying these things, like, not pickleball, but all sports, eventually you'll just get stagnant and you won't grow.
Yeah. No, I think, man, just thinking about how those points would look if there's a beep and then X amount of seconds to like finish the point would be
It's 2018 and a big point in MLP and you hear a damn beep after you've been dinking for 15 seconds.
And then you know it's like the serving team, you're like, all right, I got to D up for like four more shots and the other side, I got to make something
for
happen.
For sure.
Maybe it's cool. Maybe it's
not. It would create some crazy dynamics. And try it out. See what happens.
Who would have thought Steve Kuhn would have a new idea?
Right. Exactly. No. Ideas every hour of the day.
Yeah. Like I said, I always call Steve Kuhn Jan Poppy with money.
Yeah.
He's an idea man.
Yeah.
Sam, what are your thoughts on, obviously, you know, if you're on the player council for tennis, you're going to be very familiar with a lot of this. Obviously, pickleball is not very regulated right now in terms of there's a lot of controversy with paddles and delamination and getting too much pop on it. You know, that's going past too much grit. There's betting coming into the sport, allegedly in May. You know, I've heard that for the last couple of years now, but we'll see if it comes in May. They're talking about, you know, PEDs, people using Adderall, people using stuff to last in singles longer. What are your thoughts in terms of kind of the current state of where all of that's at, which is disarray right now, and moving forward and actually growing up into, I don't know, potentially more of a mainstream sport?
Yeah, I definitely have a little sympathy for pickleball on a whole in the leagues that it's grown so fast in the last like 12 months, especially. It's like they didn't have anything in place. Cause what other sport that I can't think of another sport that all of a sudden went from like 0 to 100 in 12 months, you know? So they're all the MLP, the PPA, the AP, they're all kind of trying to make up stuff as they go just because it's going so fast. So that's hard. I do think is when betting comes into the sport, which maybe it does in May, maybe it does in May 2025, you know, yeah. I hear the same things. That's when you got to say, okay, we have rules. We're not going to call our own lines anymore.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be an umpire calling every line. If you want to test for PEDs, like we need to test for PEDs. If you want to have a regulation paddle, there's got to be like certain, you know, dynamics or whatever specs in place. So I do think they need to figure out like maybe all three entities, you know, get some very strict rules in place only when it becomes when the betting starts. If they're not going to bet on it yet, all right, do whatever. But
yeah,
betting on the line, you got to tighten up the rules and have some strict, some more strict kind of, you know, set boundaries in place.
Yeah, no, agreed. What are your thoughts on PEDs, for example? I mean, I don't know how is Adderall a banned substance for ATP?
Yes and no. So you can take, it's called a TUE, a therapeutic use exemption, and take Adderall. I don't think you should be allowed to take Adderall in tennis, but who can't get a doctor to be like, oh, this guy's ADD. Everyone in the world has ADD. It's so easy to get that. So, you know, that's one that I feel like should be banned. But, you know, the people that take that stuff always seem to be one step ahead of the regulators. If they ban Adderall, someone will just go knock off Adderall. That kind of does the same thing. So,
yeah,
you know, you can, these therapeutic use exemptions, I've taken them before when I played tennis. You might, you know, I threw my back out and you would go to a doctor and they would give you a steroid, but it would be like a very strict, you're on it for 8 days of like a one pill, two pill, three pill, four, three, two, yeah. one for your back. But you have to, it's multiple doctors looking at it. I don't think Adderall should be used in any sports. But yeah,
and,
you know,
it feels like in pickleball specifically, it's where you have long points and you have to stay so focused. It feels to me, it feels like probably the strongest PED that you could take in terms of performance enhancing.
Agreed. It's like tennis at the Grand Slams. You have a 4 or 5 hour match.
Yeah.
Very helpful to be on Adderall. And pickleball, although it's different, it's the same because if you're, you know, especially in singles, like, you're playing 4 or 5 times during the day. You kind of got to be locked in for an 8-9 hour period during the day. Yeah. Same with doubles, same with mixed. Like, I guess you can argue it.
Yeah.
And that is a big advantage if you're mentally engaged based on, you know, these Adderall. So I would be very much in favor of all of pickleball banning Adderall.
And it's that would just make a lot of people upset.
Tennis and pickleball. I mean, it's patterns and pattern recognition and staying focused for long periods of time. It's like literally to a T what Adderall helps you with. So exactly. I think those are two of the bigger sports where it's a huge advantage, tennis and pickleball.
Totally agree. It should be banned. Get rid of those therapeutic use exemptions.
Hey, Sam, so how are you feeling? So you got picked up in the Challenger draft. How are you feeling in terms of level? Is it where you expected to be at this point, playing MLP? And what's kind of your outlook moving forward and kind of goals moving forward?
So I feel like I've gotten a lot better from Mesa to Daytona a couple of weeks ago, especially the mixed doubles. For the most part, in December, January, February, I was practicing men's doubles. I live near Westboro, so you guys know, like, we've been practicing a lot. We're going to play events outside MLP. And that's kind of what the majority of my practice was like. So I actually felt comfortable in the men's doubles. And in Mesa, like, Stefan and I went 2-1 in the doubles. And in mixed doubles, I felt uncomfortable in Mesa. Like, as you guys know, it's like I didn't quite grasp the concept of, like, you need to be an alpha and get 80% of the court. And so in Daytona, that clicked for me because I had practiced a bunch of mixed doubles. My partner Amanda and I, we went 1-2, but we had match points in the two matches we lost. We were this close to going 3-0, so I felt like very comfortable in the mixed doubles. singles is probably where I feel most comfortable, even though I haven't played that much single. Just, I think coming from tennis, that's what naturally translates over easiest.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm getting better. I probably thought I would be like better at this point, but I do feel like in the last like 6 months, because the sport has like grown, like more and more athletes have come in, more and more like better players are in the sport now. So it's just much more competitive. And I feel like now I know what I'm doing. If I miss a shot, it's like, you know what? The grip was here, or my body movement was here. Now I just need to execute on these moves. I feel like, you know, in the mixed and the doubles, I know what the plays are. It's just doing the repetition and practice and executing on them now.
Yeah. And on that point, how motivated are you to get to the top of the pro game? Is it something that you're doing just for fun because you're already able to compete at that level? Or is it something where you actually are hungry to get to the top?
It's a little bit of both. So I'm, you know, this year I'll probably play 12 events, 6 being MLPs and 6 other events, you know, mostly kind of near my hometown. Or Southern California. I'll play US Open next week and a couple others. But so I'm not playing a full schedule, which will make it tough for like ranking wise and whatnot to get to the top. But I am practicing essentially every day when I'm home that I can. So I'm hoping that my level will actually be higher than my ranking or what my duper shows. Sure. And people will kind of recognize like, oh, you know, he doesn't play a full schedule, but like he is good and he's someone to look out for.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see it right now. That could change, you know, in 6 months. I could be like, you know what? I'm loving this. This is fun. I'm maybe willing to travel a little more and play more events. But as of right now, like that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. And outside of pickle right now, obviously you're not playing tennis anymore. What are you doing outside for just obvious, you're a dad as well. Are you any other ventures that you're working on?
No, I mean, yeah, like you said, I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. I'm outside of playing pickleball, I'm doing other pickleball stuff, like trying to get some pickleball, like a TV show off the ground, constantly looking at, you know, basically like business decks as you got like Kitchen and Pickle, Rally, all those things. There's a few kind of, I live in Southern California, popping up or trying to pop up here. So looking to maybe get involved in one of those. I'm going to South Carolina next week to do like a pickleball exhibition, in Bluffton. I've done a few other like pickleball talks, corporate things. So I'm kind of like, you know,
you're a pickleball guy.
Yeah. As you know, like these, it's so hot right now. There's like a million opportunities that seem to pop up every week. And, I went to the pickleball slam over the weekend with Mac and Chang Andre. And I was practicing with those guys the last few months because I feel like, you know, the overwhelming majority of people that are playing pickleball or watching pickleball like came from tennis.
Yeah.
And so just by chance, I'm kind of like the bridge between it. So I feel like I'm getting a lot of people, you know, kind of asking questions going through me. So my day is consumed with like just pickleball in general.
I love it.
Which I like. I wake up every, like, I don't miss tennis right now. I wake up every morning, like pretty excited to like see what pickleball things are going to come today. Or, you know, I've, on social media, like my wife and I are making funny videos. We'll like spend time making like pickleball videos and stuff like that. And so I just like everything involved in pickleball right now.
I love it. On talking about the pickleball slam, that was a big deal over the weekend, high viewership. A lot of people tuned in, and of course they tuned in because you're watching tennis greats. But the fact that they were playing pickleball, I found it really, really fun to watch actually, because the pickleball level was good enough to where, and there was enough translation of like seeing their tennis strokes to where it was really intriguing in my opinion. And I just loved how, I think Chang took it more serious than anybody. He was so stoked. But what was, so you've played with those guys, worked with them, you know, interacted with them over the weekend. What was their take and feel on everything?
Yeah. I'd hit with Chang a handful of times prior to the event in the weeks. I'd hit with Andre a few days before, I hit with McEnroe. So I kind of knew all their levels and I thought the event was great. I thought their play was good enough that it wasn't just like a celebrity match where they were bad. Like they were entertaining, especially McEnroe. The level was good. The viewership was awesome. And I hope they do more of them. I know when I was in Daytona, a lot of the pickleball players would be like, why are we playing in this, or, you know, they would be critical of the level that they watched, because yeah, the level, maybe they did a lot of things incorrect, but I feel like as a professional pickleball player, you should be watching that and cheering for it as hard as you can, because if it's successful, they're going to do another one. And you never know, maybe the next one they do, it's Venus and Serena, and they're going to pick two pickleball pros to play with them.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have, you know, four ex female athletes play, and they're going to do an undercard next time with four pros. So
yeah,
I do feel like the pickleball world, especially the pros, should be cheering for these events as much as they can, because that's only going to bring more opportunity for them to get involved in these things.
No, 100%. I just appreciated the fact that it felt like they were actually all competing, and it wasn't just this cheese dick exhibition type thing. So it wasn't for charity.
I like that they were playing for like real money, and it was big money on the line.
Yeah. I mean, they cared for sure.
I mean, John McEnroe's just the greatest. I mean, I only saw like a handful of points, but the one point he goes for the angle, he finally takes one out of the air, but his feet are in the kitchen. It's just good stuff. I mean, when it's just.
I had practiced with them the Tuesday before in LA, and we probably hit for a minute up in the middle. He's like, "All right, let's play singles points." And every time he missed the ball, he'd stand there with the hands on the hips. Just
oh yeah.
usually fire off an F word.
Oh yeah,
and just like stunned of like, how could I ever? I've been playing tennis, dude. How could I miss that ball? Just, but it's an organic reaction. Like,
yeah, that's who it is. It's real. It's like, real.
It's yeah. It's not for a show. He's generally mad about stepping on a kitchen line or missing a dink, and that's
yeah. It's like, I can't believe it.
That's what makes him so great.
Yeah.
I can just see the hands on the hips. He's always posing with the hands on the hips.
It's so great.
Sam, I know you said you had to get rolling.
I can go 8:35.
All right, sweet. Nice. Out of any of the players on the tennis tour, who do you think would come over to Pickle and be outside of Sock and right. the guys that already play a fair amount? Who do you think would come over and have their skills translate best?
I think on the singles side, like a Gael Monfils. I'm trying to think of some other, like,
dude's a freak.
Yeah. He'd be so good at singles.
Guys that like are entertaining, yeah. that are like sick athletes on yeah. singles, I think would be great. On the double side, it's hard for the guys. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. On the woman's side, I do feel like, pick your girl out of the top 100. And I think they could come over and make a splash on the women's pickleball tour much easier than on the men's side.
Yeah.
I feel like it just translates a little easier, you know, especially in singles, the girls don't come to the net as much. It's more like rallying from the baseline. So I think a lot of the male tennis players, even if they think they can come over to pickleball, like it would take them time. But I do truly believe that you can pick a handful of the female tennis players, pop them in pickleball, and within a 3 to 6 month period, like could be very relevant.
Yeah.
What about that? I don't watch tennis much anymore, but what about that? Like the Jans lady, like, doesn't she just like slice and dice and hit drop shots and have an awkward game?
Door, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Is that a thing for guys anymore? Do any guys play that way?
In tennis?
Like
Santoro game? Style.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
no, they don't. I've actually talked about this.
Yeah.
You know, generally with people, like if you take every good young player, like Alcaraz, Fritz, yeah, Shapovalov, yeah. you know, whether it's like Kochnov, Rublev, every young good player hits the serve at 135. They hit the second serve at 110 and they rip the ball from the forehand and the backhand side and they have no fear. There's not right. one guy that plays like that unique kind of like Santoro style game, which is a little bit of a bummer because it was fun to have those, you know, those different styles back in the day. Hey, this guy serves in volleys. This guy has a finesse player. You don't have, everyone is just 6'4" and hits the ball right. as hard as they can. And it's kind of scary. Yeah. I mean, I kind of was on the backhand. I would play doubles a lot with Steve Johnson at the end. And if you're playing doubles and like Stevie missed the first serve and same with me, like he did a second serve and like Rublev be hitting a return, you're at the net. You're just like, so hard. Which is also going back to pickleball, like the delaminated paddle thing. I hit with one the other day.
Oh, it's
the craziest thing I've ever, like, they got to get rid of that too. Like, I don't want to be at the net when someone has a high forehand with one of those delaminated paddles. I'm just going to turn my back because, yes, it's pickleball, but I don't want to get hit with a pickleball in the face at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. Turn your back or turn your hip. One or the other.
It's got to be figured out because it comes off so hot. It's just hot. Not the same game.
Yeah.
All right. We'll let you get out of here, Sam, but thanks for catching up, dude.
Yeah. Thank you guys. That was fun.
All right. We'll do it again soon.
Will you guys be in Naples at the US Open?
I will. Adam, you going?
I'm still 100%. I'm not 100% sure yet. So Ken Herman wants me to help out with this next gen national team thing. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it or not. That was a long winded way of saying, I'm not sure.
Yet. Well, I'll see you there. We'll be there.
Yeah. We'll get some games in. All right.
Sounds good.
I'm playing with Ryler DeHart and then Susanna Barr.
Nice. I'm 1-0 against DeHart. You go ahead.
Who are you playing with?
I'm playing with Wes.
Okay, sweet. So, that'll be fun.
Next with Judith Castillo Carbano.
Yep. I've seen her play some recently. She's a good singles player, too.
I saw.
I feel like I maybe.
Red Rock.
Yeah. I feel like maybe I should just come down there and party and just play non-sober rec games with everyone. I don't know.
That feels like that's what you would
Ryan,
be best
I got at. Ryan Sherry coaching me all week, so I've got.
Oh, ooh, you're set.
Yes. I got to get on that party bus. We all need to.
There will be a party bus. That's a fact.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. Thanks, appreciate you. Later.
Yeah.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary. Yeah.